A lot of people have thought about it before, but let's think about our first encounter with Rav Shimon bar Yochai in Shas. That's what I want to think about. Rav Tzadok, HaKohen of Lublin, has a very interesting rule. Okay, Dani is my Rebbe in Rav Tzadok, by the way. So, Brishus Rav Dani. Rav Tzadok has a rule in several places that, and he's not the only one who has it, the Vilna Gaon has a similar rule. It's a rule that makes a lot of sense to us. That the first time something appears in the Torah is the root of that idea. So, for example, Rav Tzadok writes in the Pri Tzadok for Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Kamosha Amarno, as I've told you elsewhere, De Bechol Makom Os Shinizka Rishona B'Torah, Shamhu Shoresh Os. Wherever a letter first appears in the Torah, that is the root of that letter. Okay? So if your name starts with an Aleph, and you want to understand what is the root of Aleph, so you open up the Torah, Bereshis, that first Aleph of Bereshis is the root of Aleph. Okay, interesting. Right? Where is the first Samach in the Torah? Where is the first Tes in the Torah? Okay, the Gemara talks about this, the Midrashim talk about this. But Rav Tzadok explains that the first time a letter appears in the Torah, that's the root of that letter. And it helps us to unlock the inner meaning of that letter. Rav Tzadok in the Yisrael Kedoshim, Ashi likes this source, says the same thing is true about the first time a word appears in the Torah. Rav Tzadok of Lublin writes, V'kibalti shebechol davar v'inyan b'makom shemila zo nizkar pam rishona b'torah, sham hu shoresh ha'inyan. Wherever a word first appears in the Torah, that is the essence of that word. So the first time the word tov appears in the Torah tells us about the essence of what it means for something to be good. The first time or appears in the Torah tells us about the essence of what light is. And the same thing is true for every word or concept the first time it appears in the Torah. Okay? So now we open up Shas, and we open up Maseches Brachos, and we start to think about how does Shas begin? And who's the first person we meet in Shas? It's very interesting. It's kedai to think about it. The opening Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, says, Me'emasai koran es shema ba'arvis. Why does Maseches Brachos, by the way, begin with Kriya Shema shel Arvis? Why do we start Shas by talking about the nighttime Kriya Shema? So some have suggested that that's the first mitzvah that a person does upon becoming a bar mitzvah. Although yesterday, at the very end of Shir, we were talking about the tshuva of the Eretz Tzvi. Right? Does a bar mitzvah boy need to say Birchas HaTorah on the night of his bar mitzvah? Because when he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, he was a kid. He was a katan. Now he's a gadol. Right? I told you the Chassam Sofer says that Simcha is really the first mitzvah of a Jew. The second you become a bar mitzvah, to say, I'm so proud to have the opportunity and the obligation to do mitzvahs. But really, in a sense, the first mitzvah d'araisa, perhaps, that one will do on the night of his bar mitzvah is reciting Shema, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Okay. So who does the Mishnah quote? Who's the first person we meet in Shas? Me'emasai koran es Shema v'arvis, mishosha kohanim nechnasim lecho b'truvasan, atzof ha'shmur rishona divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the time for saying Shema at night is from the time the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma, also known as Tzeis HaKochavim. That means Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it's not by chance that Rabbi Eliezer happens to be the first Tana who we meet in Shas. Rabbi Eliezer earned this place. And how did Rabbi Eliezer earn this place? And again, if everything is precise, if the first letter in the Torah reveals the essence of the letter, and if the first word, the first time this word appears in the Torah reveals the essence of the word. So if Rabbi Eliezer is the leadoff, you know, player in Shas, Eliezer has the first word and the first Mishnah in Brachos, that means it must somehow refer to Eliezer's essence. And that's what we find in the Sefer Oalei Shem, Shem Klingberg, Hashem should avenge his blood, we've spoken about him in the past, died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He writes, Hatana Harishon Shenizkar B'Shas Hu Rabbi Eliezer. The first person we meet in Shas is none other than Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Why do we first meet Rabbi Eliezer? Hatam Shezacha Rabbi Eliezer Shenizkar Rishona B'Mishnah D'Brachos Yoser Mikol Atanaim. How did that happen that he was the first Tana? I mean, there's so many holy Tanaim. Why Rabbi Eliezer? So explains Rav Shem Klingberg in his Sefer Oalei Shem. He explains that the Gemara in Sukkah says that Rabbi Eliezer said about himself, Miyamai lo kadmani adam bebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Eliezer said, I was always the first one to davening in the morning. I was always the first one to shear. I was always the first. No one ever beat me to the Beis HaMedrash. So therefore, Al Kain, Nosnu lo Scharo min HaShemayim, Lagdimo b'Bei Midrasha. What a beautiful idea. So as a reward for always being so diligent to be the first one to shear, to be the first one to take his seat in the Beis HaMedrash, Rabbi Eliezer becomes the lead-off voice in all of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Because that's who he was. He was a person who knew how to take his place right away. He was the first one there. So as a reward, he gets the opening teaching in Shas. Okay? So with all of this introduction, I want to think about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's first statement in Shas. Because if Rav Tzadok is telling us that the first letter reveals the essence of the letter, right? And Rav Tzadok is telling us the first word reveals the essence of the word, and now we understand why Rabbi Eliezer is given that unique position to start Shas, so I guess in a sense, every person, when they first present themselves in the pages of Torah Sheba Al Peh, is somehow expressing their essence. Does that make sense? Do you guys think that my theory is a reasonable theory? That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's first teaching in Shas should reveal to us a great revelation about who Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is. The essence of who Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is. So, however, what is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's first teaching in Shas? Again, I'm not going to say anything too radical today, but I want us to understand the feeling what Jews are supposed to have on Lag BaOmer. Haba Aleinu Letova. Okay, today is the 31st day of the Omer, for those who didn't count last night. So the first time we meet Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Shas is in a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Hei Amad Aleph. This is the first time. You open up Brachos, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Daf Hei Amad Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Omer. Oh, we have found Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Shas. Here's his opening teaching. And again, Chavra, if you think about it in a deep way, I think it becomes clear that this message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai permeates his whole life. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught, Shalosh Matanos Tovos, Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. Hashem gave three wonderful gifts to the Jewish people. Matanos Tovos. Hashem calls it a Matana Tova. You know, it's important to realize that, right? These are things that Hashem refers to as being good. If Hashem calls it good, you know it's good. Sometimes someone will say, listen, I have a good idea for you. And you listen to the idea and you're like, that's not such a good idea at all. Maybe you thought that was a good idea. That's not such a good idea. If Hashem gives you a present and says that it's good, I promise you it's good. So what were the three good gifts that Hashem gave to the Jewish people? It says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, V'kulan lo nasnan ela al yedei yisurin. But they're the types of good gifts you can only get if you're willing to suffer. You can't have these things if you're not willing to work hard. You can't have these things without a little bit of hardship. And what are those three gifts? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. If you want to acquire those gifts, it's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some hard work. So, however, it's so obvious to me. And again, I'm not saying anything mechudash here. It's so obvious to me that if we think about this and we just remind ourselves that this is not just a teaching of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but that this is in fact the first teaching of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you understand that this sets the stage for the whole worldview of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If you want to have good things in your life, if you want to be zocha to have good things in your life, things that are truly good, you're going to have to what? You're going to have to be prepared to go through some difficulty. You're going to have to be prepared to suffer a little bit. You're going to have to be prepared to live in a dark cave before you're able to step out into the light. You're going to have to be a slave in Mitzrayim to then come out and receive the Torah. You're going to have to wander in the desert for 40 years before you come to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have to work hard in Torah and mitzvos and fighting your Yetzer Hara in order to earn a place in Olam Haba. But it's worth it. And that's the legacy of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The ability to realize that good things come to a person who's willing to what? Who's willing to fight for it. Who's willing to suffer for it. That's the root of the teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, however, you all know the story of the cave in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got into some trouble with the Roman authorities, and he goes into hiding, and he's hiding in the cave for 12 years, and he comes out after 12 years, And he's on such a high madrega that he can't be sova the world. He can't even bear the world anymore. And Hashem says, I didn't take you out of the cave for you to destroy my beautiful world. Go back to your cave. Work on yourself a little bit more. He goes back to the cave for a 13th year. Can I get the 13 Maya Makomos in today's year? He goes into the cave for a 13th year. And he comes out at the end of the 13th year. Right? And he has these eyes that are so sympathetic and so empathetic and so loving. Yishim Bar Yochai is able to look at the world in a good way. Right? And even though the world is very imperfect, Yishim Bar Yochai has trained himself to have an ayin tov, to see good, to always see the good. So Yishim Bar Yochai comes out, and the end of the story is very sad, but it's very, again, it goes to the crux of the moment that he becomes a Yishim Bar Yochai. The Gemara tells the story that when Yishim Bar Yochai came out of the cave, Shema Revi Pinchas Ben Yar Chasnei, his son-in-law, Rav Pinchas ben Yair, came out to greet him. Aile leve vane. Aile, they went up. He took him up. Leve vane, to the bathhouse. Havaka orech le levisri. Right? And he started to tend to his skin, right? His flesh. Chaza dehave be pile begufe. He saw that his skin was so, I guess he didn't have any good hand moisturizer, you know, in the cave for all those years. So he saw that his flesh was cracked. He saw there were cracks in his skin. And when Rav Pinchas ben Yair saw the flesh of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai as he was, you know, giving him a bath, helping him at the mikvah, he saw how broken, he took off his shirt and he saw how bruised his skin was. And Rav Pinchas ben Yair started to cry. Have a kabache, v'kanasran dimas enei, v'kametzav chalei. He started to cry, and as his tears dripped down, falling onto the flesh of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, his father-in-law, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai let out a cry. It hurt, right? The salty tears were stinging his cracked flesh. Amar lo, he said to him, if Pinchas ben Yair, looking at Rabbi Shimon, so beat up, oy li shirisicha bekach, it's so painful for me to see you like this. Amar lo, so he said back to him, nah, come on, you're totally wrong. Ashrecha sherisini bakach. You don't realize how fortunate you are to see me like this. You think you're looking at a broken person. I am more whole than I've ever been. It was tough in the cave. Of course it was tough in the cave. Yeah, physically it was damaging. I hardly had any food. I hardly had anything to drink. I hardly had any companionship. But spiritually, I sat there in the cave with my son. We learned Torah Yom V'Layla. And I'm a different person. So Ashrecha, how fortunate you are to see me like this. She'el male lor isini bekach, because if you wouldn't see me like this, with all of the suffering, lo matzasa bikach, then you wouldn't have found me as I am. In other words, you wouldn't see this transformed Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Had I not suffered in the cave, I never would have become Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So again, that's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's mission statement. If you want the matanos tovos of life, if you want the good things in life, a person has to be prepared to go through difficult times. A person has to be prepared to suffer a little bit. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is an example of how much he changed. He said, "Dmeikara." The Gemara says, "Ki have a makshe Rishon ben Yochai kushya, have a mefarik le Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair tresar peruke." Meikara, originally, before he suffered, when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would ask a question, Rav Pinchas ben Yair would give 12 answers to the question. Lisof, but after his experience in the cave, ki hava makshe Rav Pinchas ben Yair kushya, when Rav Pinchas ben Yair would ask a question, hava mafarek le Rav Shimon ben Yochai estrin va'arba peruke. Rav Shimon ben Yochai had such a clarity in resolving questions, he could answer Rav Pinchas ben Yair's question in 24 different mahalchim, 24 different answers. So look how much he grew from that suffering in the cave. I saw just last night that the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Yishchai, in his commentary on the Gemara, points out something interesting, B'derech Remez. He says that when Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, "Oi, oi, chaval, that you see me like this. Oi li, shiri sichi bekach. How painful it is to me that you see me like this." Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, "No, you got it all wrong. It's so good to see me like this. This is the real me. And it was because I suffered that I became the real me." So says the Ben Yishchai in his commentary on the Gemara, the Ben Yoyada, he says, "Oi, that oi, that krechs, that oi, that disappointment, Sha'amarta, hu mishapech lemispar tov, that oi, that the woes of our life is gematria tov. Because every time a person says, oy, 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 Rabbono Sha'olam, why am I going through this? Remind yourself that oy is gematria tov. That somehow in that krech, somehow in that oy, is an opportunity to taste real tov. And that's what Rishon Bar Yochai lays down as the ground rule for real tov in this world. If you want tov, kulan lo nasnan ella al yedei yisurin. You can't get it without yisurin. You will not be successful in Torah without hard work. You will never get to Eretz Yisrael without making the sacrifice to move to Eretz Yisrael. And you will not get Olam Haba without fighting with pain and suffering against your Yetzirah to win those battles. There's no other way about it. But Rishon Bar Yochai says it's worth it. It's worth it. And again, he practiced what he preached. He went through it, and he came out a different person. Chaver, I want to share with you one of my favorite insights into the world of Rabbi Akiva. Because, of course, everything we're describing here about Rabbi Shimon, we know is absolutely true about his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva also suffered terribly. And at the end of his life, as Rabbi Akiva was having his flesh combed by iron combs, by the evil Romans, Yamach Shemam V'Zichram, Rabbi Akiva was so happy. It was so good. He said, my whole life I've been waiting for this moment. And the Talmidim said, what is going on here? How is this fair? Is this the reward for Torah? And Rabbi Akiva says, what do you mean? This is my ultimate moment. I've been waiting my whole life for this. So Rabbi Akiva was the one who always saw good. And you can think of many other examples of that. Famous Gemara at the end of Makos, when everyone's crying and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Right? Many insights into Rabbi Akiva as being a person who transformed life's difficulties into something good. So Chaver, let's talk about Rabbi Akiva again, who again we're also celebrating on Lag BaOmer, the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, I told you from Rav Tzadok, the only reason that we don't celebrate Rabbi Akiva's Yahrzeit is because Rabbi Akiva died so tragically. But Lag BaOmer is the celebration of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Gemara in Menachos tells us the following story, very interesting story. Menachos Daf Chavtes. I'm sure some of you will remember having heard this Gemara before. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. B'sha sha'ala Moshe l'marom matzu l'kadosh baruch hu shiyoshev v'kosher ksarim la'osios. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, he found the Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting and kosher and attaching crowns to the letters. Remember this Gemara? Kadosh Baruch Hu was placing crowns on the letters. Right, you know in a Sefer Torah, the letters have these little points on top. Those are called the tagin, the crowns, or the ksarim, the crowns of the letters. Okay. Some letters have, you know, multiple crowns. Some letters have a single crown. Some letters don't have any crowns. So Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu as he's adorning the letters of the Sefer Torah with crowns, with these little points on top of the letters, as you see in an actual Sefer Torah. Okay. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha? Who's forcing you to do this? It's funny lashon, right? Who's holding your hand? Who's, you know, forcing your hand to do this? Why are you doing this? Why is this necessary? Who is this for? Amar lo, Hashem says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adam echad yesh she'asid lihios b'sof kamadoros, va'akiva ben Yosef shemo. There's going to be a yid who lives at some point in the future, and his name is going to be Akiva ben Yosef. She'asid lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz tilin shahalachos. That in the future he is going to look at every one of these little points. A kotz literally means a thorn. But these little points, calling them the thorns, we're calling them kutzim, we're calling them ksarim, they're crowns. Rabbi Akiva is going to, there's a yid in the future, he's going to be such a deep Jew, that he's not only going to be able to learn the words of the Torah, he's not only going to be able to interpret the letters of the Torah, but he's going to be able to interpret what? The little points, the decorative crowns on top of the letters of the Torah. And he's going to extract from kol kotz v'kotz, tilin shel halachos, piles and piles of halachos. Amar lefanav, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to meet such a Jew. Such a yid lives in the future. By the way, you should just know that Rabbi Akiva's neshama is very much connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's neshama, as we learned, is very connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, anyone who's going to be so critical in the Mesorah of Torah, like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon, are obviously going to have some soulful connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we learned, remember we learned that piece, right? That Alisa Lamarum Shavisa Shevi, that when Moshe went up, Shevi, Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Kiva also is very, very connected to the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe says, I want to meet this Yid. Rabbeinu Sha'olim, Herau Li, show him to me, I want to see him. Amr Lo, Chazur La'acharecha. So he says, okay, you know, turn around, right? Turn back. All right, turn around and I'll make him appear to you. Halach v'yoshav b'sov shmona shuro. So Moshe, you know, spins around, and all of a sudden he finds himself in Rabbi Akiva's base medrash. He goes and he takes his seat in the back of eight rows. He sits in the back. He's new to the shir. Moshe Rabbeinu, imagine. Moshe Rabbeinu walks into Rabbi Akiva's shir. V'lo ha'yodeya mahin omrim. And he's trying to follow the shir, and he has no idea what they're talking about. The way that they're teaching Torah in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't know what's going on. Tashash kocho. And Moshe was feeling very depressed by that. He felt weakened by that. Kevan shi'igil adavar echad. Amru lo talmida Rabbi minayin lecha. At one point Rabbi Akiva said something and the talmidim said, Rabbi, what's the source? Where do you know that? Amar lahan halacha lemoshe misinai. Ooh. This is what I mean. This is a tradition that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vinis Yashva Daito. Oh, and then Moshe had peace of mind. Moshe said, okay, it's good to know that my name is still found in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. Chazar Uva Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe comes back to Hashem. Amar Lefan of Ribono Sha'olam. Yesh Lecha Adam Kazeh Va'ata Nosein Torah Al Yadi. You have someone like a Rabbi Akiva in the world, and you're going to give the Torah through little old me? Amar Lo Shtok. Kach ola b'machshava lefanai. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, be quiet. This is my intention. This is how I've always wanted it to be. Stop asking so many questions. Amar lefanav ribono sha'olam. Harisani toraso harani scharo. You showed me his Torah, so now show me his reward. Nu, what comes of this Jew? You sure you want to see it, Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, I want to see. You sure you can handle it? Yeah, let me see. Amar lo chazor l'acharecha. Okay, turn around. He turns around, and what does he see? Rosh is shoklin b'sarob m'koylin. He sees that what? That the flesh of Rabbi Akiva is being sold in the marketplaces. He sees that Rabbi Akiva is going to die a brutal martyr's death. Amr lefan of Ribbono Sha'olam, zo Torah v'zo schara. Ribbono Sha'olam, this is the Torah and this is the reward. Amr leh, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, shtok kach ala b'machshava lefanai. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, stop asking questions. This is part of my master plan that you can't fully understand. But what's amazing is that we know, again from elsewhere, that when Rabbi Akiva was actually dying, as Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in Brachos, when it describes his death, Rabbi Akiva didn't have any of these questions. The Talmid Rabbi Akiva had the questions. Moshe Rabbeinu himself had the questions. Rabbi Akiva had an eye that only saw Tov. When everyone else said, Oi, Rabbi Akiva said, Tov. It's all good. It's mamish all good. But Chavra, let's understand, again, from this Gemara, this idea that Rabbi Akiva was darshaning kol kotz v'kotz tilin tilin shahalachos. Okay? Chavra, I want to show you one of my favorite teachings in the world. It comes from a sefer called Or LaShamayim, Rav Meir of Apt, in Parshas Chukas. Look what he says. He quotes our Gemara. That Rabbi Akiva was darshaning every crown, every thorn, every point on top of the letters of the Torah. Explains the Or LaShamayim, Rav Meir Halevi from Apt, 18th century, Chassidus Rebbe. He says the following: Ki hine kol haneshamos hakadoshos vagadolos hakadosh baruch hu noteo osam b'makom omek haklipos kedei lachniam. Hakadosh baruch hu likes to bring, as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the student Rabbi Akiva, taught us, Hashem brings good gifts to the world only through suffering. Hashem brings holy souls to this world only through very unusual places, through klipos. Think about where Mashiach comes from. Follow Mashiach back up the chain. Where does Mashiach come from? Rus, David HaMelech, a questionable conversion, a questionable Jew. Follow it back further. Rus, Moab, Lot, sleeping with his own daughters. That's where Mashiach comes from. Such an impure place. And yet the answer is yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of sending the loftiest souls into the klipa in order to what? In order to subdue them, to humble them. Ulevar hanitzotos hakadoshos shenisharu b'socham be'is shviras hakelem. It's part of that painful transformation. The same way a Klal Yisrael has to go to Mitzrayim for 210 years to be cooked in Mitzrayim, to be refined in the Kor HaBarzel, to come out the pure Klal Yisrael. The same way that Mashiach comes from unholy places, so too Rabbi Akiva comes from a very strange place. Kumo Avram Haya ben Terach. How about the first Jew? Avram was the son of Terach. Terach was the Rosh La'ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'gam Rabbi Akiva Haya mimishpachas Geirim. Rabbi Akiva also was a descendant of converts. Rabbi Akiva took a long time for him to wake up and decide to start learning Torah. He was so anti-Torah. He lived in the dark for so long. He came from Geirim. Think about a Geir. Think about a person who undergoes the transformation of Geirus. You know what they're doing? They're going from being amongst the nations of the world to becoming a Jew. We say every Motzei Shabbos in Havdalah, Hamavdil bein Kodesh l'chol, bein Or l'choshech, bein Yisrael l'amim, right? So obviously, in that mashal of bein Or l'choshech, bein Yisrael l'amim, it must be that if a person goes from being one of the nations of the world, a member of the nations of the world, and he converts to becoming a Jew, that's the equivalent of what? Bein Or l'choshech. It's the equivalent of going from darkness to light, from going from a dark cave back out into the world, so to speak, right? So Rabbi Akiva, who was a Ben Geirim, just like Avram Avinu came from a strange place, just like Mashiach comes from a strange place, holy things sometimes come through very unusual channels, and sometimes very difficult channels. And that's what Rishon Bar Yochai says, and the first time he opens his mouth in Shas, if you want the good gifts of life, you're going to have to suffer, period. Why is that fair? Why can't Hashem just give me something good because He loves me? Why is suffering a necessary step to receiving that goodness? Only Hashem knows. But that's the reality. So, Chevra, listen to this. Val yedeze kisharotza lavor Hashem hayakoshalo maisa avosav kotzim v'dardarim. When Rabbi Akiva finally decided at the age of 40 that he wanted to get his act together, that he wanted to become a frum Jew, that he wanted to become a Talmud Chacham. Do you know how hard that was for him? He was descendant of converts. That means most of his ancestors, most of our spiritual success comes from the fact that what? That my father's Jewish, my grandfather's Jewish, my great-grandfather's Jewish, my great-great-grandfather's Jewish. All of their zchuyos, which we call zchus avos, helps me, Moshe Tzvi, right here, right now, to try to be in anything. Rabbi Akiva had a long legacy of what? Of idol worshippers in his past. Rabbi Akiva came from a very dark place. And you know what? It's really hard to overcome that. But if you can, if you could see all of that suffering as necessary, and all of that darkness as a hecha timsa to step into the light, so then you could become the greatest. Me'afela l'or gadol. Like we say as we wrap up the Magid section of the Haggadah, as we transition ourselves from being slaves in Mitzrayim to being Jews. So when Rabbi Akiva wanted to serve Hashem, it was very hard. He had all of the Maisa Avosav. He had all of his, you know, troubled past to grapple with. Kotzim v'dardarim. Thorns and thistles, like it says at the beginning of Chumash, right? That one of the curses of Adam Arishon was kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. That you're going to have all sorts of things growing in your field that are going to damage your crops, damage your plants. But when a person is willing to work hard, and a person subdues that evil within, and he's mevarim midosav, and he works on himself, he's gorim yichud elyon began Eden, he creates such wondrous connections in Shemayim. The biggest simcha is when a Rabbi Akiva beats the odds and becomes a Rabbi Akiva. And then that tikkun becomes what? Rabbi Akiva opens up a new pathway. A halacha means what? What is a halacha? What is a halacha, right? What do Chazal say? Al tikri, halachos ala halichos olam lo. Al tikri halichos ala halachos. A halacha is a halicha. It's a derech. It's a path to walk upon. So when Rabbi Akiva had all the doors slammed in his face, Rabbi Akiva found a path. And how did he find his path? What did the Gemara say? Rabbi Akiva, look at the Gemara again. Hayadoresh al kol kotz v'kotz tilim tilim shahalachos. Again, the Gemara started off by saying Hashem was placing crowns on the letters. But then the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva explained the thorns. Are they thorns or they're crowns? I mean, they look like little points. They look like little lines. They kind of look like a thorn, but a thorn has such a negative image. So is it a thorn or is it a crown? And Chavir, you know what the answer is. The answer is yes. The answer is it's a thorn and it's a crown. V'nasimizeh halacha. Rabbi Akiva took the thorns of his life. Rabbi Akiva took the harshness of his own life. Al kotz v'kotz, every kotz, he took every thorn in his side, everything that hurt him. Mimasha oksu oso kekotzim uvarkonim, that which pained him, like being pricked by a thorn. Nasa mizet tile tilim shahalachos. He turned it into halachos. He turned it into pathways. He took all of his yisurim and turned it into the matanos tovos that his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, would teach us in his opening teaching in Maseches Brachos. By the way, the Or LaShamayim in Parshas Lech Lecha says a similar thing about Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu is told Lech Lecha, anyone know what the word lichluch means? What's lichluch?
Dirty.
Dirty, right? Lichluch is like muddy, dirty, right? Muluchlach is something that's dirty. So Lech Lecha also, Avram Avinu was being told, listen, you're in a place that's very dirty. But Lech Lecha, you could transform the Lichluch into a Lech Lecha. You could turn it into a journey. That's where we keep of it. And I like to add, when I share this piece from the Or LaShamayim, that maybe we can read the curse of Adam HaRishon differently. What was the curse of Adam HaRishon, Chavra? Kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach v'achaltas esav asada. As you're trying to eat the produce of the field, you should realize that you're what? That your fields are going to be overgrown with kotz v'dardar, with thorns, with all sorts of things, right? With weeds growing. But I like to read the pasuk of v'kotz v'dardar, that the brokenness of your life, the thorns of your life, the obstacles of your life, tatzmiach lach, can help you to grow. Tatzmiach lach. It's tatzmiach you. It makes you grow if you have the right perspective. Another tzaddik who died al kiddush Hashem, second one we're mentioning today, was a tzaddik known as Rav Shimon of Zalachov. Rav Shimon of Zalachov. If we emirtz Hashem, I told you, if we get back to YU ever, we'll be zocha to see a picture of him hanging on the wall of our shiurim, although I hope they'll, you know, let us keep our shiurim next year, our old shiurim, in the MTA building. And we have a sefer from him called the Nahare Eish. He was an amazing person, a mashkiach in Chachmei Lublin, a person who came to teach chassidus in a place where it wasn't necessarily the norm, and a very, very unique personality. So in his sefer called Nahare Eish, in the back, there's little paragraphs, the Kutei Diburim, beautiful little teachings. And he writes, he captures our sugya so perfectly, so beautifully. Look what he writes here. Look how he explains to us how Rabbi Shimon's opening teaching in Shas, that again, if you want good things in life, you have to suffer. Look what he writes here. B'chol han hoga ba'olam hazeh anu roim choshech kodem la'or. The way that the world works is darkness before light. Me'afeila la'or gadol. That's how it is. Uvamase bereshis kosu vayi'er vayivoker. Right? Hashem leads off by telling us that before there's going to be a boker, there's going to be an erev. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be darkness that precedes. There's a night that precedes the day. V'tzadikim trilosan yesurim v'sofan shalva. Or what the Gemara says, that tzadikim first suffer, and in the end they have peace of mind. In the end things work out. When we talk about the holiness of the Jewish people, there needs to be a galus before a gula. There needs to be Mitzrayim before there could be Kabbalah Satorah. And in fact, when we left Mitzrayim, interesting, Hashem actually led us with a light. Hashem led us with a fire. Panim b'panim dibur Hashem aleichem b'choriv mitoch ha'esh. Har Sinai was a light. But you can only come to that light if you're willing to go through the dark. V'chol ha'am ro'am es ha'kolos, ro'am es ha'nishma mipi ha'gvura shamanu. Torah tziva lanu Moshe ad sof ha'olam. So everything about Har Sinai was what? Was HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing after a period of great concealment. Ha'golos hayu b'tokev gadol l'umas ha'or shahaya acher kach. First, there's a vayimaru as chayayam. There's a bitterness, a suffering in Mitzrayim. V'chol ha-ben ha-yelod ha-ye'ora tashlichu. First, they take the children and they throw them into the ye'or. But of course, there was one baby who was born at that very difficult period who filled his house with or, not ye'or, but or, with light, Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol ha-inuyim koshim shohayu begalos Mitzrayim. B'chdei legalos ha-or shal kriyas yam sufamatan Torah. And all of that darkness in Mitzrayim was just a prerequisite to get to the light of what? To the light of Kriyas Yamsuf and the light of Matan Torah. Now, look what he writes here. And I only found this this past year. I'm very excited to share this. HaZohar Kadosh. The very name Zohar means illumination. The light of the Zohar, the holy Zohar. Nizgala Dafka B'mara. Where did it come from? It came from a Jew who sat in a cave. Galus Shal Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Yud Gimel Shana Ad Sha'ol B'Besaro Chatutim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Ashracha. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is crying. He's all upset. No, don't you understand? Had I not suffered, I never would have gotten this ultimate goodness of Torah called the Zohar Kadosh. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I had to go through that dark cave in order to bring out the light of the Zohar. How about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? The Baal Shem Tov's Torah lights up the world. The Baal Shem Tov was running around hiding in mountains, in desolate areas, right? Hiding in the Carpathian Mountains, somewhere between Kitov and Kosov, before he was able to what? To reveal his light to the world, the or of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his Talmidim. And of course, Chevra, right now, Begalus HaAchron, in this final lengthy Galus, V'Hamar HaZeh, the longest exile of our four exiles in history. This long, dark, bitter galus. Shalo haya galus kamoso. V'chol ha-galios ha-konos. We're reading the words of someone who died al Kiddush Hashem. He knew it in a very real way. Zos ha-chana el oro Mashiach tzidkenu. This is all a prerequisite. This is all a preparatory stage of bringing us to the light of Mashiach, which is going to be so lofty. Shekola olam nivra bishvilo veyar Hashem es haor ki tov. The light that comes after all of the galus is oro shel Mashiach. The Medrash says, right after the world was tov avov v'choshech al pnei sahom, and Hashem looks and finally Hashem sees the or. The Medrash says, what is that or? It's the light of Mashiach, which is the light of the Baal Shem Tov, which is the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Umipnei shaor hanitzch hazeh lo heyer od b'chol esmanim. And therefore, if we're going to reveal a light like never before, then unfortunately, says a Jew who gave his life in the Holocaust, we have to suffer like never before. Hagolas hazeh shi achana elav gam kein od lo hayu leolamim hachavolim hanoraim v'leidas Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu. We have to go through what we call the chevlei Mashiach, the suffering that precedes the revelation of Mashiach. Chevra, let's wrap up by connecting it for a moment to what we're going to experience again on Shavuos. Because again, Lag BaOmer signals that we're now entering the final stretch. How many days from Lag BaOmer until Shavuos? Right? Once you get to Lag BaOmer, there are 17 days. Gematria Tov. Ein Tov Ela Torah. As the Gemara says over there in Brachos Daf Hei. Right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai took the Oy, the woe, and he turned it into Tov. Same Gematria. So Chevra, let's learn something amazing. There are people who are going to get it only after the light turns on. And there are people who are going to discover the light while you're still in the dark. Again, Rav Shimon Zalachar just told us that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Zohar in the cave. Again, we could debate whether or not that's exactly how it worked. But the Zohar certainly came from the dark. It's not just that after the dark, you know, there's light. There's some people who, while they're still in the dark, can appreciate that the dark itself is light. Like Rabbi Akiva, whose flesh is being ripped off of his body, and the Talmidim are saying, what's going on here? And Rabbi Akiva's like, it's fine, everything's fine. While still in the darkness, they're able to appreciate the light. There's no question that when we get to Mashiach, we're all going to say, oh yeah, yeah, we knew it, you know? Hindsight is 20/20. But the Avoda is to what? The Avoda is to bask in the light, and that's what's so special about Lag BaOmer. That's what's so special about Torah's Baal Shem Tov, is that you get to taste the light of Mashiach before Mashiach arrives. It's one thing to jump on the bandwagon after Mashiach arrives and say, oh yeah, I knew all along. It's another thing to what? It's another thing to believe it before it's revealed in the most obvious way. Let's end with a piece from the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe, and a story from Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Okay? We know that by Kabbalah Satorah, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, in preparing the Jews for the Har Sinai experience, he's told, Ukidashtem hayom u'machar, sanctify today and tomorrow. Right? Which, of course, we end up extending to 3 days. Right? 3 days of preparation. Moshe adds a day on his own, the Gemara says. But the Torah says you should sanctify today and tomorrow. So the Gemara says, Hayom kemachar, today like tomorrow. Ma lemachar leilo imo, just like tomorrow, we count the night as part of the full 24-hour period, the night and the day. Af hayom leilo imo. So too, Hashem says, I want the day to be a full day, a night and a day. What's the pshat? Hayom kemachar, today like tomorrow. Just like tomorrow, the night is with it, so too today, the night is with it. The beautiful var. Look what he says. Efshar yeshlomar, al pi darche avoda, kemavur besvar makadoshim. Let's try to not only understand it as an idea, but b'derech avoda. Shebe'es shiyesh liyisrael tzar chas v'shalom. When a Jew is going through pain, ve'im yavo oz l'das ha'shlemus, ve'yavin ve'yakir chastei Hashem yisbarach, b'zeh, and he comes to recognize the kindness of Hashem that's manifest even in that tzara, v'ad kam gedolim chasadav rachamav, and he knows that Hashem only created the world as an expression of his love for me, of his rachmanis, ki batach gam ha'tzaras v'yisur ma'ela hema tovaso mamish, and he comes to realize that what? That everything that I'm going through is just to make me better. And it's all because of the goodness of Hashem. Ki derech chayim tochachas musar. Because the way of life is tochachas musar. Is sometimes to rebuke. Hashem has to sometimes challenge us to bring out the best of us. As the Zohar says, leis nohora, there is no light. Elahu denafik migav chashocha. There is no light except the light that emanates out of darkness. Veleis tava, and there's no good. Elahu denafik migav bisha. There's no good except that which comes from bisha, from bad, that comes from discomfort, that comes from painful situations. Or as the Gemara says, Bereisha chashucha v'hadr nahora, right? Vayi erev, vayi voker. First there's darkness, and then there's light. Ki tamid kodem sheyizrach or hayom misgaber cheshkas halayla betokvo. And the night intensifies, the darkest, right? It's darkest before dawn. You've heard the expression. As you're about to transition into the ultimate light, it's going to get darker. Right? But it's dafka at that moment when things seem the most broken, and again, our world is certainly getting darker in many ways, right? It's dafka then that your excitement, anticipation of the light should be that much more powerful. Which is why, again, the light of Pnimius HaTorah is growing stronger. The world is getting crazier. And the you know, society at large is becoming darker in their morality and their outlook, and yet the inner light of Torah is getting brighter and brighter with each passing day, each passing year. And with the right perspective, in a second you can transform the whole thing, and you turn all of your tzaros into something good. Lahagid bavoker chazdecha is one thing, but emunascha balelos. When I have a muna that everything that I'm going through right now is good, that the yisurim are l'tachlis hatov, so then I can transform the night into day. It's a laila k'yom ya'ir. It's a night that's shining. And then when Hashem illuminates your eyes, azira kamatovos v'chasadim asa kadosh baruch hu imo, you start to realize it was all an ava misuteris, a hidden love that I couldn't even appreciate. So look what he says to explain the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael, sanctify hayom u'machar. And the Gemara says what? Just like machar is night and day, so too hayom should be night and day. What does that mean? Ma machar leilo imo. Just like machar, when we finally arrive, when Mashiach comes in the future, tomorrow, haynu ki achar kach roe be'inayim pekuchos shekol zehayit tzarech liyos bechreach. Just like down the road, we'll be able to realize that whatever we went through, all of the laila was kayom. So too, kidashtem hayom umachar. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, be a big person. Sanctify today. Have the eyes today. Of course, tomorrow you're going to see it with your eyes open, with eyes wide open. You'll realize ki yisur and haya achana letova, that of course all of that suffering was preparation for the good. Bebechinas haheder kodem lahavaya v'klipa shekadma lepri, like the void that precedes existence, like the husk or the shell that precedes the fruit. But the avoda is af hayom tzarech lahamin shahalay leimo shehu gamkin letovaso. That's what the Gemara is telling us, right? Again, lahayom kimachar, ma'ala machar leilo imo. Just like tomorrow, the night is going to be clearly like day. It'll be so obvious that dark is light. So too, hayom leilo imo. Try to have a perspective that even when you're still in it, to try to see the good in it. And again, that's the worldview. That's the attitude. That's the hashkafa sachayim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And again, it's something that he certainly got from his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, one of the great architects of Torah in America. So in his biography, in the art school biography, it says that Rav Shraga Feivel was once sitting with his Talmidim in Muncie. And he asked one of them to pick up a rock. And the fellow picked up a rock, as, you pick up a nice rock, right? And he saw the damp earth underneath. And he picked up the rock, and underneath was swarming with all these little bugs. All these little creatures living under the rock, right? You ever had that experience? You move a rock, and all of a sudden you see all these little bugs running around. The worm, these little bugs, living under this dark rock. And Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich said to his Talmidim, he said, look at all these bugs. The world filled with light and beauty. You reveal to them the sun and the moon, the smell of fresh air and blue skies. Rav Shraga Feivel said, that is our task as well. To roll the heavy stones off souls that are veiled from the spirituality that is present everywhere in the world. When we have removed the boulders, we can call upon all those dwelling in darkness to lift up your eyes to the heavens, behold your Creator, and know your Yiddishkeit. And that's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva do for us. So Chevra Dafka, on the art site, on the celebration of Rabbi Shimon, of Rabbi Akiva, on Lag BaOmer, we Dafka what? We Dafka light bonfires. We go out in the darkness and we kindle the darkness, we light up the darkness, as a way of saying, we get it. Rabbono Shalom, we get it. I'm not going to wait for the Orosh HaMashiach to then realize, oh yeah, the dark was also, right, Machar, somewhere down the road, I'll realize that dark was actually light. No. Kedashim Hayomu Machar. Right, to realize that right now, with the right perspective, a person can live in the light. And again, all of this is really just to remind us of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's first teaching in Shas. The essence of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The essence of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is that the Matanos Tovos of life, the good gifts of life, only come with Yisurin. So I give us a bracha. Hashem shouldn't cause us to suffer all that much. We shouldn't suffer. We daven every day. We don't want suffering. We don't want nisyonos. But the mitzias is, Cheva, we're living in the ikvus of the Mashiach. We are that last generation that's putting the final pieces in place to bring Mashiach. And again, it's darkest before the morning comes. So we got to just hold on. We got to cling to these tzaddikim and their fiery Torah. And their illuminated Torah, the Zohar that was from a cave, the Baal Shem Tov that came from dark Carpathian mountains, lonely dark mountains. All good things come from dark places. Okay, so we should be like Rabbi Akiva, to take the kotzim, the troubles of our life, and turn them into beautiful crowns for Torah.